make it worthwhile for us to sign up to your thing. Otherwise, we're not going to interact with it at all.
I want like money off, and I want it. It's nice to have it quickly. Like Maddie was saying, like curated emails to you saying like buy one get one free, or like buy this if you spend this amount, you'll get this pair of earrings for free, which is definitely an incentive to spend that extra £20.
I feel like our generation, I feel like we're less loyal to certain companies. Like I feel like one day we're deciding to buy something from here, and the next day we're deciding to like buy something from here. Especially with like flights. Like when I'm looking at flights, I'm just looking at the cheapest option I can get. I'm not gonna buy a British Airways flight and save up so I can get a free flight at the end of the day. I'm just gonna get the cheapest flight I can to where I need to be.
Hi, I'm Ian Pringle, and this is the Loyalty Podcast from Loyalty Wired, where we help you make the most of your loyalty strategies by listening to us talk about what we like to talk about most, which is loyalty and loyalty programs. For many years, loyalty marketeers have struggled with how to market to younger customers. In recently published research by Mando Connect, they found that loyalty membership amongst 18 to 24-year-olds had improved significantly since 2022, but was still 12% lower for women and 70% lower for men than the UK average. So what do younger customers want from loyalty, and what can we do to engage them? Luckily for me, I have two Gen Z daughters and many contacts from my wider global loyalty family who are perfectly placed to help us explore this topic. So please could I welcome Maddie Fitzpatrick from Sydney, Australia. Hi, Maddie.
Hi, everyone.
And Ian Ferguson from Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Ian.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Joshua Gibb from Drummond near Glasgow in Scotland. Hi, Josh.
Hi, guys.
Is it Josh or Joshua these days?
Oh, honestly, like, anyway, it doesn't matter. Josh or Joshua, honestly, it doesn't matter.
Brilliant. Good. And Harriet Pringle, previously of this household and now living in Norwich, England. Hi, Harriet.
Hi, you're right.
Brilliant. So firstly, thank you for joining us today. Particularly thank you for Maddie, who's had to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. So thank you, Maddie.
It's all good.
So just before we get started, can you each give us a quick introduction to yourself and just what your current situation is and where you are? So, Josh, do you want to kick us off on that one?
So I'm in Glasgow. I'm from Glasgow, but I'm also studying finance at university in Glasgow.
Perfect. And Maddie?
I live in Sydney, and I've just graduated for a Bachelor of Design.
Perfect. And Ian?
I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio, but I'm in Atlanta, and I'm a junior in high school.
Perfect. And Harriet?
Hi, I study drama and English lit in the University of East Anglia, Norwich.
And so people that listen to Ian's dad is Rick Ferguson. People might know him from around the world. And Maddie, your mum is in, you're from a loyalty family too, because your mum's Julie Fitzpatrick from Gravitas, isn't that right?
Yes.
So you've grown up with loyalty too?
Yes, my whole life, essentially.
And same with you, Ian. You've grown up with loyalty because your mum and dad work in it, because your mum's loyalty for Honda, is that right?
Yeah, it's been around it a lot.
Perfect. And Josh, I was at university with your mum, and I could tell you some stories, I can tell you.
Yeah.
Probably not for this podcast.
Yeah.
And Harriet, you've been bored to death over many years listening to me talk about loyalty programs.
There you go. I love it. Do you know what my Spotify actually like? I don't know how it's worked out that it's your podcast, because it just keeps playing your podcast after I listen to my normal podcast. It just scares it in, and then you're like, oh my God, who's that? It's dad's voice in the room.
It's one way to get your listenership up, isn't it? So there you go. So before we get started tonight, so where do you see loyalty in your day-to-day lives? Where do you see loyalty around where you are and around where you work? And what I mean, Maddie, do you want to talk about that? In Australia, where do you see loyalty day-to-day?
Oh, everywhere. From wherever I shop, like clothing, food, like the Woolies, our groceries, and any cafe, there's everywhere we go, there's loyalty, if it's a loyalty card or just points.
And what about you in university as well, or where you at school? Do you see that there as well, even there, or is it mainly mainstream retailers?
My uni is a bit different because I went to more of a private design, so I don't think my uni is probably the best example, but I think other unis may have been better. But yeah, it's more just the mainstream of just clothing and food.
And Josh, you see it around in where you are as well?
Yeah, I mainly see it, like personally, I use it in like fast food places or supermarkets, but you see it everywhere, to be honest. Like I'm at uni as well a little bit.
When you say uni, so the university have its own loyalty program, do they?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's like a very like big loyalty program. It's more of just like at the canteen, or like if students are getting coffees, they also have like a little bit of a card. I think you can also top up your app or and use that maybe in sort of loyalty, but It's not massive at the uni.
Can I jump in and say the bar at uni, jumping off what Josh is saying, they've started introducing a thing where you get like bar points. So if you have to spend a certain amount of money in the SU bar and then you get money off. So I had a big, like I was ordering the other day and they gave me like £2 off my drink, which is quite good. If you like collect.
It's the same with me with our uni, with the union. Also with like the canteen, if you've bought this many like lunches, you can get money off the next one or so what.
And do you give data for cost for that? Do you swipe a card or do you,
how does
that
work? So yes. I don't know whether it's the same with a uni with you, Josh, but like we have to, like, in order to use the SU bar, you have to give your campus card. Like, yeah, it's like they ID you and then you show your campus card and then they must like, they log it in and then they just like, so it's just onto your uni account. Your student number is, they put it in and then you just tap your phone to pay or whatever and it just goes on.
Exactly. And the more things you spend, the more you get a discount off drinks or discount.
Yeah, you save up points, so then I don't know, so let's say if you bought a £5 drink, that's like 50p worth of points put into like a pot basically.
And it's quite old school then, so you're swiping a card, it's not like you have it on your phone or an app or anything like that.
No, I think they just had to make it easy, especially because it's a bar and people just get drunk and then don't get it, so I think you just like, they just made it really easy, so you just hand over your card, like your campus card, and it's just like already on your account, it's easy.
And this is you speaking for a friend, Harriet, not from personal experience.
Yeah, no, I don't drink at all.
and Ian, what about you? Do you see stuff in the US a lot aimed at you?
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly just like fast food places, but I use it on stuff like the Nike app for shopping for shoes and clothes and stuff. I mean, I don't know how it is for most high schools, but for mine, we don't have any like loyalty program. I mean, I think there's like a discount if you go there, but I don't think that really counts. Yeah, I don't know. It's mostly food places, but it's not exactly in like smaller places. It's mostly the big like McDonald's and Burger King and whatever.
And what about wider things? What about things like gaming? Do any of you guys do gaming?
Yeah.
So Josh, on gaming, are you aware? Do you get things where you collect up different tiers and all that sort of stuff? Have you seen much of that?
I don't know if I've seen much of it, to be honest. I wouldn't know if it's loyalty or not, but like sometimes you have to pay to like play online and you get like benefits with that, but other than that, I don't think I've seen too much loyalty in gaming.
No, fair enough. And so it sounds like you're all part of at least one or many, many loyalty programs. So what are your favourite ones? Do you each have a favourite one that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, I've got a couple that I was sort of thinking about. I mean, I don't know whether the boys might not have heard of it. And Maddie, I don't know. I think they probably have in Australia. A company called Glossier, which is like a makeup brand. And I actually don't think they do it anymore. I think they've kind of got too big to do it, but they certainly, when they first came to the UK a few years ago, they had a system where like they would give you your own loyalty like discount code. So they would give you a code and then for every friend that you gave the code to, they would give you £10 off, which actually ended up being a really, really good deal because you could bank hundreds of pounds. So you'd give your code to two people and they would buy something and then you'd get £20 credit in your account. And then I think they got too big and they got like, they didn't need that anymore. But that was when they first came to the UK, maybe like 5 or 6 years ago. And it kind of ended up being a bit of a thing, which I think that's the best example of loyalty I've seen, because that, you know, you could save up, like I know, Dad, you know, Emily Church, like a family friend, she had like hundreds of pounds worth of things saved up that you could just like recycle and just like never have to, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how they made any money. I think they just went like completely viral, but yeah, I think that's definitely one of the best examples I've seen.
It's one way to build a brand, that's for sure.
Yeah,
and Josh, you're nodding your head as well.
I know quite a lot of companies that also do that. So myself, I've got a Revolut card, the bank, and that's like you can refer up to six people and get 60 quid off it. And that's not the only example. I can't think off the top of my head, but I've heard that used multiple times for different companies, like affiliate links for them to join and you get money and they also get some money benefiting from it.
Yeah, I've seen that too. And Maddie, you're nodding your head too.
Yeah, one of my favorite loyalty programs, I don't know if it's just Australia, but I think it's global, is Mecca makeup. They sell makeup, and I forget what the point was, but I think like every $150 you spend, they'll give you a little gift with heaps of little samples. So they were like, I just got one the other day and it has lots of little samples and you just try them and I always end up buying them in the end. But I really love their program. And they also do like free makeup sessions sometimes. So like you can go in and book in and they'll do your own makeup. So it's a really cool program that they have.
And Ian, what about you? Do you have anything you're a member of?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a member of a lot of them, but my two favorites are the McDonald's app. And then I don't know if Chick-fil-A is like a global thing, but there's this chicken place in the US called Chick-fil-A, and they've got a pretty decent one too. But the McDonald's one I particularly like because they have a lot of like really good deals. Like there's ones where you can buy like the most expensive sandwich and then get another one free. It's like if you buy one thing, you get something of equal or lesser value. And there's a lot of like on Fridays, there's like a free medium sized fry that you can get just anybody if you have the app, which I think is a really good deal. And the point system, you can accumulate them pretty fast in the stuff. I mean, it costs a decent amount of them, but like the prices are pretty fair, like in the points system on that.
So it sounds like it's really savings, kind of samples, cash. Is that what's really motivating you? Or is it, are there any programs where you might not get anything, but they're sort of recognizing you for your loyalty, or you feel part of a club? How are any of them like that you're aware of?
There's one that comes to mind. There's a company called Ashton & Mew. I think they're only UK and US, but they're a jewelry company. They had quite a good one where it's like they do give you money off if you spend a certain amount of money, but they also like there's a tier system, and then once you're like in a certain tier, they give you, I think they opened a branch in Brighton recently, and they did like free jewelry making classes. I think they did like free classes in the London branches if you had enough points to be like in their gold tier or whatever, which like they did give you money off, but they also make you kind of feel like in an exclusive club almost, that you're like, you're still part of their like company and their ethos. And I mean, like, I'm quite loyal to them now. I've been sucked in because they only sort of get their jewelry from there. And I went there when they were sort of like starting out. But yeah, I think that's quite a nice way they've done that.
But do you think that's about the product, or is it about the loyalty scheme, or is it about both? Or is the loyalty scheme just a reflection of the fact that you are loyal to that brand?
I think it's a bit of both. I mean, their jewelry is lovely and it's good quality, and it's not like super, super expensive for what it is. It's affordable. So yeah, I think it is a bit about the brand, but also the loyalty scheme in itself is like definitely one of the best I've seen, because they also text you, which is a bit annoying, but I can see like where that's coming from. Like they'll text you to be like, I don't know, Black Friday sale, or like, oh, we've seen like they tailor, I think they tailor like what you buy to what they then email you about, which is quite cool.
I mean, it sounds like from this conversation, it sounds like you guys are an open door to loyalty, really. It's not like you're rejecting it or anything. Mm. So yeah, it sounds like if companies come to offer you this, you're equally open to the thing. And so what then puts you off? Who do you think gets this wrong, and what puts you off these things?
What puts me off normally is when we get bombarded with so many emails every day. I don't mind it like if you get one or two emails a week, but there are some brands that I think email me every single day, twice a day. And so I always unsubscribe when that happens.
I think that I just get put off with loyalty things if they're not actually worthwhile for me. Because I feel like a lot of things to do with maybe like supermarkets, like the Tesco Club card, even like Lidl and some of that, sometimes it's honestly not just like worth it having it. And I get a bit put off, and sometimes I won't even like bother scanning my cards to like get the points or whatever.
Like what Josh said, if it isn't worthwhile for me, then I just don't really have an interest in it. Like what I was saying about the Nike app before, like I like the app because it's easier for me to buy stuff from it. But like I don't really participate in the rewards program for it, because it's like the things are, you have to do too much to get what you're supposed to get out of it. Like it's not a large enough amount of money or a big enough discount for me to actually do anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the same with like Josh was saying with Tesco Club Card, it's only actually really good if things are on offer. Whereas I am scanning my thing. I think I probably earned like 20p worth of points. Like that's like, you don't do it for the points almost. Like it's kind of there for the deals, but actually like their loyalty point system is rubbish.
And what do you guys think about, you clearly you know that people are using data and things like that. Does that put you off, or are you happy? You're happy taking part, and you just kind of know it's there.
I mean, I'm not too bothered if they're like watching what I'm buying or whatnot, but like at the back of your head, you are a bit like they're getting all this data and like we're not really getting much benefit off it.
The other thing, I mean, maybe this is really naive, but like we are in a day and age where our entire world, or like a lot of our worlds and a lot of everyone else's worlds, are on the internet, and a lot of what you're putting out there on social media, even if you've got a private account or whatever, you know, if you're on LinkedIn or anything to do with the life is on the internet. So why would, it's almost like I don't know what they're gonna do with my, I'm not giving them data that is like personal or private, like enormously private. It's like they're just collecting data on like what I like, but I'm not enormously concerned. I think there are a lot worse things out there that you can give the internet than what jewelry or makeup you like, I think.
I completely agree with that. Mm.
And so let me just test a few things out. So what mechanics work best for you? So you obviously, we talked about plastic cards and we talked about apps. I mean, are there any of these mechanics that you like or dislike? I mean, it sounds like you're using both.
I myself am a big fan of the apps. I don't really have many cards in my wallet. I mostly just have my debit card and then like some gift cards and stuff and my ID. But like the app's just a lot more convenient to me. If I want to get the rewards and stuff, you usually have that, use the app. And it's also just like, you know, you get to order, like if it's a food app, you get to order on the app and then get there and it's ready for you and you get the rewards.
Yeah, Josh, you're nodding your head too. So do you have any plastic cards in your wallet at all?
I mean, I've had like a coffee thing where like you have it, but you end up, honestly, you just end up losing the cards myself. I don't know if I can speak for everyone else, but I mainly lose the cards, but I've even got discount cards for like 20% off at like the pub and stuff, but you lose them all the time. I think when you have an app on your phone, you're always going to have that because the phone's the most important to us. So you're not going to lose that. And I think it's just easier as well. It's so much more convenient than having a card.
Yeah, Maddie, you're nodding your head too.
Yeah, I agree. I always lose those coffee cards all the time. I do prefer when everything's digitalized because we've got like our IDs and our credit cards on our phone. So I never have a wallet. So whenever I go out, I never have anything to put anything in. So I never have those cards. So I do normally prefer an email. Some apps I don't always love because when I have to download, I'll end up downloading like 5 or 6 apps for lots of different brands. I can normally like when everything's accumulated together. So like with an email, I'll just get everything in one place so I don't constantly get lots of notifications.
And do you guys use Apple and Google Wallet as well? So you have multiple cards in there.
Yeah. I was just about to say that. Like I really like it when it's on Apple, like Apple Wallet, Apple Pay, because like my club card is on there. You literally just like double tap it when you're paying and it's on there. You don't even have to like open an app, which is nice. Cause like, but I completely agree with everyone else saying like the apps and emails are easier to access and like having a phone. Like I have lost every loyalty physical card that I've ever been given. I like the coffee card is just a waste of paper because I'm gonna lose it by the time I remember I've got it. Whereas if it's like on Apple Pay, it's easy.
Cool. So can I try a few things out on you about myths or things? So you're saying plastic cards or apps, you're saying absolutely apps or always. Yeah. Is that right? Mm-hmm. What about saving or spending? So if a proposition asked you to say you can save up for 1 month or 5 visits or something and get a saving, or would you be prepared to save up for say a year and get a flight somewhere? How do you think about that?
I mean, it depends what it is. If it's a flight, that's a bit different to like whether at the end of the year you're gonna get a £20 voucher. Because I'm not spending enough money. I don't have enough money to spend on like a company. Like I'm not spending thousands on one company because I don't have the money to spend thousands on one company. So I almost feel like I can see if they were going to give me a flight, but I don't know. I'm not spending enough on a company to, I think I'd rather just have like,
I guess the question is are you prepared to sign up? Are you prepared to save up because multiple brands think that you're not prepared to save up? I'm just testing the water on that.
I feel like our generation, I feel like we're less loyal to certain companies. Like I feel like one day we're deciding to buy something from here and the next day we're deciding to like buy something from here, especially with like flights. Like when I'm looking at flights, I'm just looking at the cheapest option I can get. I'm not going to buy a British Airways flight and save up so I can get a free flight at the end of the day. I'm just going to get the cheapest flight I can to where I need to be.
And what about badges or kind of things where you get rewarded things that don't really have a value, but they give you some kind of status? They're particularly popular on games, these things. So what do you think about those sorts of rewards?
I would say those are quite people, especially on games. Like if you have the badge on the game and you're playing with your friends and you have that badge and they don't have it, then I would say that's a very valuable thing. I've not come across it myself personally, but I think that would be popular.
And what about NFTs? Have you guys come across NFTs, non-fungible tokens?
I've heard about them. Like I know what they are. Or I have an idea of what they are. I don't know anybody. Well, there's one person that I like know about that has any interest in them. And then the rest of the people that I know just don't really care. I myself and the people that I know just think they're a little bit ridiculous sometimes. And it's just not like worth the money you put in.
So even though they claim that they have a value and things, you're just saying, actually, I'm not really interested. It's too complicated. Is that what you're saying? Josh, you're nodding your head there.
I feel like there was... like around about a year ago, there was like a hype around NFTs and things. But I think now people just don't really see the point in them, in my personal opinion.
Can you explain what they are, Dad? What are they?
They're a bit like cryptocurrencies and things like that. So they're a reward of something that sits on the internet and it's yours and you have ownership. And Web3, if Web1 was about seeing things on the internet and communicating with each other, Web2 is about selling things on the internet that you didn't own and you could buy. Web3 is about having things that you own on the internet, like a token that belongs to you that you can trade. And so, you know, people like sports organizations, or Josh mentioned gaming people, they'll give you something that belongs to you that you can actually trade, and it has potentially a value. Does that make sense? I mean, does that resonate and think, actually, that's quite cool? Or is that people thinking, no, it's just geeky stuff?
I get it, but I've never come across it. I don't think it appeals to me.
I can see how it's like valuable in like gaming and whatnot. And if you can trade it, and you can trade it for something else, like the NFT, and it's like, and people want it as well, then I can see how it's got a value. But for some NFTs, I feel like there's just not the demand for them. But if you manage to create like a demand for an NFT and people want to like trade with it and whatnot, then it could be super valuable.
What if it proved that you've been somewhere to a gig or to a game or to something like that, that said, you know, instead of collecting paper tickets or whatever people used to do in the past, that actually told you that you were actually at the cup final, you were actually at, would that have appealed to anyone?
I think so. Yeah, that's true. If you're at the game, you could take a photo, but yeah, I think that could be valuable.
I think the like appeal of having a physical, like you'd take a photo or you'd like, I don't know, take a video and post it to Instagram or whatever you want to do. But then I think the appeal of having like the physical thing to stick on your wall is cool. Whereas like I had a wanker if I was walking around with a phone going, yeah, I was at the gig, like here you go, have a look. Like I just think people were like, cool, but I don't necessarily see the appeal. I think it'd just be a bit show. Well, I don't know why you'd walk around with it on your phone, just like as like a badge of honor. I don't know. Maybe I didn't go to enough concerts to know that, but yeah, that wouldn't necessarily appeal to me.
Fair enough. So going to communications, how do companies communicate? And do you've obviously mentioned, Maddie, you mentioned before that people bombard you with emails. So if they weren't good to use email, or how could they either make the emails better, or what other channels could they communicate with you? What channels do you get communications from companies?
I don't really mind getting a few text messages, kind of like what Harriet said before. If we get a text message, it's Black Friday or there's a sale, I don't mind that because I'll click on it straight away, because normally I'll miss it if it was on an email. But I do prefer like curated emails. So if I buy something from a brand and say it was, I don't know, some nice shirt, they would kind of email me being like, hey, you bought this shirt, here's it in another color. So I like it when it's more curated and personalized. But besides that, yeah, I only really prefer those two channels. I don't really use apps that much.
What about WhatsApp and things? Does anyone get any communications through WhatsApp from companies?
No.
So it's either text or email, really, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. Is there any other channel?
For me, it's like I've got like apps for them. So like for the supermarkets, Tesco and Lidl and whatnot. And like I mainly click on notifications. Sometimes I don't even like open my texts or emails when like companies are sent, because I get so much sent from like different companies and whatnot. But then if a notification like pops up on my phone from one of the apps saying there's like a deal or whatnot, sometimes I might click on that and do it. But that's probably the most that I interact with loyalty cards.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. And so if you were going to give advice to someone who's running a loyalty program, what would you tell them? What would your big message be from the 18 to 24 year olds? What would you be saying? This is what you need to do. This is my three pieces of advice, or two pieces of advice. Who'd like to go first on that one? Harriet, you look like you're on the edge of your seat on that one.
I sound too excited. I think like I want money off. I either want to save points like really easily and quickly. Like I don't want the Tesco where you have to take years to even like get like anything from it. I think just like where you spend £10 every time I spend like a pound off whatever, like I want like money off, and I want it. It's nice to have it quickly. And also like things like with certain companies send you like a £10 voucher on your birthday, or like Maddie was saying, like curated emails to you saying like, oh, here, you bought this, like we think you'd like this, have this, like here's a like 20% discount just because like the jewelry brand I was talking about often do like buy one get one free, or like a like buy this if you spend this amount you'll get this pair of earrings for free, which is definitely an incentive to spend that extra £20.
So they need to mix it about a bit, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, definitely.
Does anyone else have anything to add to that?
I definitely agree with Harriet saying that like you need to make it worthwhile for us to sign up to your thing, otherwise we're not going to interact with it at all.
And it sounds like you're also saying make it easy. Make it easy.
Yeah, definitely.
And have it on an app.
Yeah, straightforward, even better than an app like Harriet was saying earlier on Apple Pay. Easy, like scan your QR code. It's like simple as that, even quicker than an app or an email or anything like that. Ideal.
Because you're so, and I don't know why Apple does, so it has to turn it off. But if you haven't used an app in like a certain amount of weeks or months, it just deletes it for you. And it's really annoying because like, let's say you're sitting in a shop that you haven't been to in ages, but you have downloaded their app because you get, I don't know, percentage off or you get a like discount or whatever, and then you're sitting in the queue and you haven't got 4G's not working and your app's not working, and like if you're in somewhere like Norwich and the 4G doesn't work and you're trying to open an app to scan something and it's not scanning, and then you just think I can't be bothered, like it's not gonna work, like I'd rather just have it on a Apple Pay or whatever where it's like non-Wi-Fi, easy to access, easy to get to. Or often actually they ask you to like put your email in, like they'll have like an iPad and they'll just spin it around and they'll just like get you to send your email, like often they the same way they email you receipts or whatever, but they'll I know there's actually a local company in town that like there's a lot of scheme where you just put your email in, but I have had it like mainstream companies as well.
Good. So well, thank you very much for that, everyone. So thank you for taking your time, particularly thank you for Maddie for getting up so early in the morning. You've actually managed to stay awake, Maddie, so congratulations and thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having us.
So can I say thank you to Josh Gibb? Thanks, Josh.
Perfect. Thank you, Ian.
And thanks, Maddie Fitzpatrick. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, Ian Ferguson.
Thank you.
And thank you, Harriet Pringle.
Thank you.
If you like this podcast, please like, share, or comment on social media using the hashtag #TheLoyaltyPodcast. And we look forward to your company again soon. Thank you all and goodbye.